culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Tuesday morning. May 5th, 2020. How can it be May 5th already? My goodness. Thanks for joining us. You know, I went back and watched yesterday's show. I don't say this very often. I told my wife, I went for a walk yesterday, put my headphones in, listened to the show. And that was a keeper yesterday, folks. That was really a keeper. If you didn't get a chance to, I thought so anyway. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, go back and get it, share it. Because we're coming in a time right now where there's a lot of upheaval going on, man. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of bad stuff. As they would say in a football game, this game's still in doubt. We don't know how this game's going to play out. We don't know who's going to win this game. Now, here's the amazing question that we ought to all be asking ourselves. At least I guess I ask myself. You guys ask yourself whatever you want. Is there anything we can do right now to win this game? Is there anything that we could be doing, you and me, us, Christians, anything we could be doing to win this game right now? I got some videos, some different things I can show you. I've never in quite a while, really, in my lifetime, since, as we spoke about yesterday, four dead in Ohio, there's an awakening in America like I've never seen. And the awakening in America is coming from a lot of different directions. And I believe that more than any time, I'm 67, in my lifetime, we're on the cusp of what could be a spiritual awakening. We're on the cusp of it. But I hate to always come on here and feel like I'm pounding on the same drum, but it's a really, really important drum, so I'm going to pound on it. We don't have a Christian leadership. We have very little Christian leadership. And by that, I mean leadership outside. At some point, didn't Peter and Paul, didn't the disciples, didn't the leaders take their grievances to the streets? Didn't the leadership do that? And I look across the cusp of America, and what if we really are right now? What if we really are at the end times? What if as many of us believe, or many of the viewers believe, you know, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, what if really the end of the age? Jesus is the one that called it the end of the age. Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. What does that even mean, I wonder? End of the age. Lo, I'll be with you always, he said, even until the end of the age. What if there really is an end of the age? And what if we are living in the final days of the end of the age? Now, we mouth it, but we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Because I can just tell you this, out here where I live, a lot of you know out here where I live, if there was a forest fire that came rolling over the top of the hill, and I realized that my home was nearing the end of the age of that home, you would see me scrambling like you wouldn't even believe. I'd be running in my house, pulling out things, trying to save this and trying to save that. And we live in a time, at least in America, we are nearing the end of the age in America. Let's not talk about the end of time. Let's talk about the end of the age in America. And do we see it? Does our Christian leadership see it? And if they do see it, why is the reaction so muffled? And if they don't see it, what is wrong with them? What is wrong? What would I'd be like me? I can't imagine me, I'm talking about calling a football practice or a game. Let's say a football practice. And I don't go. And I look out on the field, not just my team, they're all practicing out there. So what are they doing? Well, not all of them are out there, but a good bunch of them are out there practicing together. I'm thinking, well, why are they practicing without me? I'd feel an obligation to show up. And some of them, maybe they're just learning how to play, and they'd say, Coach, would you give me a little bit of, hey, Coach, I really would like to do something to end abortion. I'm really concerned about it. And, Coach, I'm really concerned about, you know, I'm losing my business here, Coach. I'm really losing my business. And Coach wondered, could you show me some techniques that I could use to more effectively fight in this battle that I'm in? Can you imagine a pastor saying, no, I'm sorry to you, no, I can't do that? Yeah, we look all across the fruited plain, and there are individual Christians out fighting without the aid of their pastor. Now, without somebody saying 501c3 or cowards, or can somebody tell me why is that? The Bible tells us that the good shepherd leaves the 99 to go get the one. If I'm a pastor and I've got one person that's out in the street, I'm either going to go rescue him or try to redirect him or try to help him. But the last thing I'm going to do is sit in the house and watch him wander out there by himself. Old dog, old Daisy, Michelle went for a walk the other day, and I'm sitting looking out the window. Some of you know where I live, and I live kind of out in the country. And I look, and there's old lazy, fat old Daisy waddling down the sidewalk or down the driveway. Daisy was going to follow Michelle. Daisy was going to go across the road where she was due to get whacked. She wasn't going to make it across that road. No, I didn't sit there and say, golly, boy, Daisy's about to learn a lesson here. No. I actually got out of the house, and I semi-jogged down the driveway with her leash and brought Daisy back. Now, if pastors believe that their congregants are wrong to be out in the streets, shouldn't either go with them or try to, I want to kind of open that up there. I want you to think about that a little bit. As to why, how, maybe that's a better question. How do we get our leadership more involved? Anybody have a solution? Anybody have an idea? Because folks, we're not going to win this game without coaches. We're not going to win it without coaches. You can't win any battle without coaches. Now, there was another rally yesterday. We're starting to see more and more people go to, here in Ohio anyway, they're going to the governor's house. In fact, Jeff, you guys still doing that on, is it Wednesday, Jeff? You guys are talking about going to Governor DeWine's and maybe to Amy Acton's place. You still doing that, Jeff?
Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, Governor's Mansion. And now he's talking about also going to Householder's house, not the same night, but we're going to get some of these people go to their house.
He lives out by me. And I put a meme up on Facebook today and said, which is more, I'm kind of paraphrasing it, which is more unusual? Oh, now that's, how did I say that, Lauren? Which is, I want to get it right. Hey, bear with me here a second. Because I thought it was a good one. I thought it was a good meme. And bear with me here. So, Jeff, I'll go with you guys. Wednesday night at what time did you say, basically? 6 o'clock? We'll talk more about it when we get off.
Yep.
Here's the meme that I put up. Golly, my computer's slow today. Anyway. What's going on? I mean, how do we, those of us who are awake and those of us who are concerned, how do we awaken our leadership? Where do we find our leadership? What is it that we can do? Here it is, finally, made it. What's it say, Coach? It says, which makes more sense, going to a government employee's home or having them come to yours? Huh, that's pretty good, isn't it? And if we go to a government employee's home, they say, how dare you? How dare you? Well, they come to mind. FBI came to mind. I'll get off of this. But we're not going to win without leadership. We're just not going to. And anybody have a solution? Because listen to me. We are, this lockdown, not the end, but the problems are just beginning. I said to Michelle before I came down here today, there's something coming on the heels of this. I believe the deep state, I believe the Psalm 2 people, why the heathen rage, people imagine a vain thing. I believe the Psalm 2 people are desperate. I believe they see that the barn doors gate. Well, my dad always say, don't close the barn door after the cows are out. I think they see the cows are out. I don't think they believe that they can pull us all back in without drastic measures. I think there's something coming on the foot of this, whether it's a food shortage, I don't know what it is, whether it's another virus, there's something coming on the other end of this. And I feel that we're going to look back 8 months from now, just do that number. I don't know why 8 months. Say, daggone, we should have done something back in May. Let me open it up here. Anybody have a thought on that? How do we get organized?
Hey, Coach.
How do you get organized without leadership? Yeah, go.
You got a two-sided thing here. You got churches with pastors who are not aware of what's going on, with believers who are aware and are leaving.
Boy, that's true, Joe.
And they don't know where they're going.
Leadership.
Right? Leadership on this end needs to get bold and bright to shine a light for them to come in.
Mm.
Okay? And maybe it'll awaken the pastors to, hey, maybe there's something really going on and we got to stop playing games.
Okay. Joe, do you feel we need to stop playing games?
Those churches? Yes.
In general, we as Christian Americans, we need to stop playing games. Do you think?
Absolutely.
This is real. This is real.
Coach, I think you're absolutely 100% hit the nail on the head. It's all a leadership question. And the answer is not easy because, see, you have to retrain the quote, church's leaders to let the Holy Spirit do the leading. And they are not equipped to do that. Most of them probably haven't ever understood the importance of the Holy Spirit leading in their lives.
Or Larry, I would say that some of the leading of the Holy Spirit, I say they don't always hear his voice. They lead where they feel comfortable. I think sometimes, remember the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not hear. Well, I think they hear his voice in mercy ministries and helping people. They hear the voice there, but they don't hear the voice that says charge or gather. They don't hear that voice.
Mic drop, Coach.
Hey, Coach.
Mic drop, Coach. Some of you guys have probably figured this out long before I did, but my sheep hear my voice, and that is God's obedient leaders listen for the Holy Spirit's voice. They hear it. And then I'd never really thought about the significance of the next little phrase there. And another voice they will not hear. Because of the actions of those people, they are following, in the most part, another voice.
Mm-hmm.
And Amen. They're not supposed to be hearing that voice. If they're hearing that voice, people, run from that assembly. Run from it. Well, get out of there.
It's like this, folks. They're hearing. See, I can't remember where I heard this. This is really, really good, okay? The mainstream media tells a story, but not the story, okay? So what we're hearing in church is a story, but not the whole story. Are you getting it? Are you hearing me? And we understand that we need mercy ministry because the prophetic ministries died. We need ministries reaching out to post-abortive women because the don't fornicate voice is shut up. Because the don't fornicate voice has gone silent, we need more people helping women who have them. Are you following me?
Amen,
it's a
Coach.
Message. We're not hearing the entire message.
When we read in the Old Testament, we read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. These were four men. But if you read in their time frame of their captivities, most of those of God's people, which we would consider the church people today, were totally against the voice of the prophet. We're seeing the same thing. Ichabod, the Holy Spirit has left the building. I want to thread a couple things here that the Lord has shown me in the past couple of days. what's coming about? You say that there's no leadership. This is like, this is in the spirit realm. To me, the devil sees that there is nobody. The one thing the devil fears is this, is a man full of the Holy Spirit. There's no prominent man with a prophetic voice that speaks in the earth. I think this is a ripe time. Listen, I'm not a rapture guy, but I am a second coming guy, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what I see, this man, listen, I do not advocate for violence, but brother, when I read in Luke 22, that was the closing of Jesus's flesh earth ministry here. And here we see him sitting at the table and now telling the boys to go get a sword. Mm-hmm. There's a battle coming. There is an absolute battle coming, but there is not a prophetic voice. And therefore, I see that there is a clashing of the kingdoms like we've never seen before.
Amen, Dale. Listen, folks, the word says that they overcame him. Just a second, please. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loving not their own lives, even to the point of death. Let me tell you, see, here's the problem. You ready? Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit just gave me this. Christian men have no testimony. Christian men have no testimony. Wait a minute. No war stories. No war stories. You ever sit around with a group of Vietnam vets? You ever sit around with a group of WW2 vets and hear them tell war stories? The modern American Christian man has no war stories. I love to go sit down with Flip Benham and Rusty Thomas and Dale Socha and Chet Gallagher. And I love to sit down with those guys and hear them tell their war stories of when they were in the battle and what they faced and what they did. And when they got, you know, they got handcuffed, they got thrown down, and then they handcuffed their feet their feet got handcuffed to their arms. They put that thing down and then they rolled them in. They put them in the, I love hearing those stories. Christian men today have no wars. We have no testimony. Life has been too easy. Our only testimony is how God blessed us financially, or he gave us a nice new home, or we got our kids into college. We have no scars.
Coach. No war stories, because no stories, because we have no testimony. War testimonies, because we have no testicles.
Well, you said it, not I. You said it, not I. How can Christian leaders be in this point and this time and look and see, basically, we're on the verge of civil disobedience. Turn on the computer, turn on the TV, and you will see men and women out in the streets and pastors not with them, for the most part. There are some, okay, there are some. But for the most part, there's not pastors out in the streets leading the people, fighting for liberty. There isn't. Go ahead, Jeff.
If you guys want to hear a good message, just what you're talking about, and he explained it with, we need civil obedience. You need the eye salve put on their eyes. The government has no wisdom, no prudence. Our leaders are just off the hook. And he talks about the boldness that we got to have, and that what will happen, that God will direct your path if you go and stand and fight this fight. But Pastor Bill hammered this message yesterday morning. We even had old Roger Reed there again, the ex-county commissioner. Oh, he is amening. Rather, these guys, he brought a whole row full from his church, and they all agreed. So if you go to New Beginnings Ministry, the Facebook, New Beginnings Ministry Warsaw, our Facebook, Pastor Bill's service is on there, and, I mean, he hammered it. And that's why he's talking about going to householders, going to Governor's man, we are going out there, but it was a great message.
So where are the other pastors? Where are the other pastors? Where are the other pastors? Listen, I can come on here every day and give a great message, but if it doesn't translate into other people getting involved, it's just sounding, clankling cymbal, clankling whatever, huh?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Believe it or not, we got some new guys coming. We got some new guys coming with us, and two other pastors coming with us, so we're getting them out.
Where is the national, where, Lord, raise us up a national leader with some stones Raise us up one, Lord, now. Now. Can you listen?
Coach, they're all.
Stop a minute.
They're all corrupt.
Stop a minute. Stop a minute. I don't want to talk about. Maybe they are all corrupt. Maybe they're. Who is a Christian leader in America today? Somebody tell me a Christian leader. That when he speaks, the world listens. Does anybody know any?
Coach.
Yeah.
Be careful. Be careful what you pray for.
What do you mean, Silver?
I mean, you're one of the most outspoken leaders in the nation. Okay. And a lot of people, for lack of a better term, they listen to every word you say. Mm. And these are the people you don't see. And you ask for a national leader, you may inspire them to a little action to get you up and out.
Well, somebody, Dale Sosa should be fine with me. Bill Dunphy would be fine with me. Alan Zeifert would be fine with me. Where is it? Think of all the big name Christians that you know, and they are all missing in action in this current battle. Folks, listen, these prosperity pastors talk about prosperity, and when prosperity is being destroyed, they're nowhere to be seen. They're nowhere to be seen.
Remember the Minutemen of the Revolutionary War. Come on, Coach. You remember because you used to call it the Minutemen. That's what it is, brother. These Minutemen, they fought against the elitist of the Brits army. And, brother, they didn't have generals. They were just the common folk. They were just common folks that they came out. And I think that's what it's going to be. I believe it's, someone could rise up out of that. I couldn't tell you because you've asked me a name. The names I tell you are Rusty and Flip and Matt and yourself.
People don't listen to, right? All those.
Exactly. But they're the battle tested.
And Dale, they've been prophetic. They've been saying for 20 years, here's what's coming. Here's what's coming for 20 years. And the church doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And I can tell you this, some of you watching right now, your pastor, if you had one, told you to quit listening to me. I can promise you he did. If you still have one. Because why? I'm just going to get you in trouble. He's angry.
I'm going to go back and I'm telling you, brother, this what the Lord has given me messages at the beginning of the year, I'm telling you. I spoke with Rod Aguilar, whom I know you're probably familiar with. Sure. And I told him, brother, I said, Luke 22 is about to play out here. Jesus's earthly ministry. I don't know how else to say it. It gets my insides trembling. But why is he doing the Last Supper and telling people to take up arms when he's about to leave the earth?
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, one thing we keep in mind, the Bible we use, most of us use the King James or some version of it, that was written, translated by good men who had never lived in anything but under the divine right of kings. So their culture, their mindset is ingrained throughout the King James Version.
Good point. Good point. Because I believe this. See, Donald Trump has usurped the voice of God. Now, I don't think he did it on purpose, but I believe there was such a vacuum of leadership that Donald Trump stepped forward and Christian men flocked to him. Not because of his righteousness, they flocked to him because of the truth that came out of his mouth. Remember, truth is truth no matter who speaks it. Whether Jesus speaks it or the devil speaks. Well, the devil can't speak truth. There's no truth in him. But men have rallied to the truth that they heard. And most Christian men are more, most Christian leaders are more concerned with appearing to be Christian than they are in defending the truth. But that's the way that I see it.
Well, Coach, all the pastors that's around Trump all had closed doors. They all closed their doors.
That's true. That's true. But again, it's the usurpation of the voice of God. Now, I don't think Donald Trump went after it. I think it just came to. I think nature loves a vacuum. I think the vacuum went. I believe he picked up the mantle. And Christian, hey folks, you better understand this. You know this. When Donald Trump was running for president of the United States, Ted Cruz was the favorite. He was the hometown favorite. Ted Cruz and probably Marco Rubio, good Christian boys that they were. And all down through the South, the pastors standing in the pulpits were supporting either Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio. And the heart of men sitting in the pew looked up and said, "We don't need any more than Christian boys. We need a fighter." And despite the advice of their pastor. They flocked to Trump. Just a second. Hang on. 1 second, Jack. And you'd be shocked the number of people I could tell you right now that I know who hated. I'm talking about men in the pulpit who worked against, spoke openly in the pulpit against Donald Trump, who today, I won't even go any further. Because why? He became that prophetic voice that the church would not be. Yeah, do you guys hear what I'm saying? If you guys ever been under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you're in a different zone. When you get done, you come out of that thing, you say, "Man, where'd that come from? Where did that come?" And I believe that the lack of Christian leadership, because there was a lack of Christian leadership, when President Trump began to speak the truth, not the Christian truth, when he began to speak the truth, I believe a mantle fell on him. And the average Christian pastor couldn't even recognize it. He was picking up the club that the pastor should have been swinging. So, was it Jack? Somebody, come on in, Jack. Trump's still the only one swinging today for the most part. Still the only one swinging.
If you change the meaning or change the translation of two or three words in Romans 13, 90% of these churches would be open today.
How do you mean that?
If the divine right of kings and the all government is under the authority, all authority is given by God, if that was properly interpreted or differently interpreted or just eliminated, 90% of these churches would be open because they're all going on this whole misinformation, misconception, misteaching of the way the whole of God's authority is taught.
Hey, Coach.
So if it wasn't, if just a couple words would change, 90% of these churches would be open today.
Amen. Amen. Sheldon, while we're getting ready there, I want you to pull up two things for me if you could here. Then somebody try to come in, I'll get to you. I want you to pull up where it says, pull up Luke 21, and then pull up where it says Marine Vet. Go ahead, somebody try to come in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Coach, I think an overlooked part of the scripture for the most part is the part where Jesus tells his disciples that he sent them out. First, you inquire and find out a good place to stay, some good people, some good folks, stay in their home, et cetera, et cetera. And then even those folks, when the disciples had done their diligence to try to find a really receptive, good place to be, Jesus said, if that place refuses to hear you, you just walk out of it and knock the dust off your feet. And what we have is we have, quote, Christian leaders who keep trying to they won't knock the dust off their feet and go find the target they're supposed to be going after. They spend their whole time trying to change what Jesus said, walk away from.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Sheldon, bring up 21, Sheldon, the whole thing. Bring up 21, and then I'll take you to verse 14.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, to prove Romans 13, how all these people's using it, they're twisting scripture better than my wife can twist a pretzel. Where did Paul end up? Didn't he end up in prison and in jail anyway?
Yes,
these
he did.
People are stupid, man.
Well, the leadership that we're stuck with right now. My wife gave me this verse this morning. Sheldon, scroll down to Luke 21. Scroll down, Sheldon, to about, let's go to about 12 and see what it says. Jesus is, Jesus talking about the end times. He's at Luke 21 verse, let's start at 12. It looks like it. He says, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you. Whoa, what? Whoa. If we were to go back, he's talking about earthquakes and pestilence in diverse places and famines and fearful sights. He says, but before all these things, we'll say it again, but before all these end time signs, but before all these things, they're going to lay their hands on you and they're going to persecute you and they're going to deliver you up to the Christian leaders, to the synagogues. Don't ever forget, Jesus was under the authority of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He wasn't under Roman authority. And so Jesus said, they're going to deliver you up to the religious leaders. Who is? Well, the people, your friends, your religious friends. They're going to deliver you up, and they're going to persecute you, and they're going to deliver you up in their churches. And in fact, they're going to take you into prisons. And before all these things happen, you're going to be brought before kings and rulers. My namesake. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, put me in front of Mike DeWine. Lord, put me in front of President Trump. That's what it says. And you're going to be brought before prisons, before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Somebody's got to go stand up for the Lord.
Coach, that's what he's saying. One of the six foundational elements of the principles of Christ is laying on of hands. And I have to confess, folks, I've got it. I've maybe have some understanding, but I've got it all wrong. But just mic drop here. Laying on of hands is you're going to have people lay their hands on you and mishandle you and beat you and anything else. That's all part of laying on of hands too. And that's part of what we have to understand, that as Christians, that is our place. That is going to happen. It's not it's not an option
But folks, don't miss this. See, the average Christian man reads this and he thinks Jesus was talking only about the time in which those guys lived. Because all the guys he's talking to do end up having this happen to them. All of them do. But friends, this is a principle of following Christ. It never changes. If you are following Christ, this is the principle. If you go stand up against the forces that say it's all okay to murder a baby, and you really stand up against those forces, you're going to be brought before governors and kings. It is going to happen even right now today. If you spit on the sidewalk in defense of the Lord, you're going to be brought before governors and kings. And by the way, it says here, that's your chance to stand up for him, for my name's sake. He said, well, won't you do it for my name's sake? Won't you do it just for me? Won't you defend me? And he says, and it shall turn to your testimony.
Coach.
Yeah, Randy.
It's all about being a witness. Mm. How can God bring judgment to those people, to this evil of our day, if we don't go to them and stand, and then he opens the door, and there's a prophetic proclamation or a prophetic. This is what they did, and this is what we're doing today. These apostles did this. God put them, he took them right into that battle so that he could bring a word to them and say, if you don't repent, this is all coming down on you. And that's what happened. This is what's happening today. He is bringing us into those places to speak it, to stand there, and to be it, to be the witness, so that he is able to bring it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
One more time. We misunderstand culturally the principle of turn the other cheek. We've taken that out of context, out of the cultural norm. That turn the other cheek was not that you're supposed to be a doormat. It was that you're not supposed to respond to improperly or emotionally or without thought to the reaction when you're slapped in the face, as in a duel. You're being challenged to a duel. Don't fall into that.
To a personal assault, a personal affront. You are there for his name's sake. Now watch. And it shall be turned to you for a testimony. So boys and girls, settle it therefore in your hearts. Settle what? This is your walk. Go ahead and settle it in your heart. This is your walk. And don't meditate before what you're going to say. Because when they come and they put those cuffs on you, Lord says, I'm going to give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And when that happens to you, fellas, you're going to be betrayed both by parents and brethren and pastors and kinfolk and Bible studies and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men because of me. I'm going to tell you, there shall not a hair on your head perish. I read that this morning. I thought, are you kidding me? Not a hair on my head perish.
Coach, the church cannot counter this because they are culturally driven. They are part of the culture. They are part of this.
They are the ones betraying us.
That's my point, Coach. The system cannot do what God is calling us to do. They can't do it. It's not in them. Because they're part of what the problem is, they can't go stand and be a witness against it. See, God has called me out of that system. Not that I'm not trying to say Dale doesn't understand. He pastors a church that's in New Testament order. He understands it. But most of the system that we call the church is trying to be a witness, but they can be a witness of his love, but they cannot be a witness of his judgment and his rule and his authority, and they can't do that. That's why God is calling out people like us to go be that.
I'll never forget, I heard a pastor say one time, talk about temptation. He said, do you think temptation is tough when you're poor? Try fighting it when you're rich. And I thought, boy, oh boy, oh boy. When you have money and you can buy anything you want. Whoo! Can't even imagine. Somebody come in. I got something I want to play for you here real quickly. Go ahead. Come on.
Hey, Coach, what Dale said is exactly why you trust the NASCAR crowd more than your Christian brothers and sisters most of the time.
I do.
But Coach, all the upper echelon of pastors, they're all popular with the world and everybody else. That's why they're not saying anything. They got nothing to say.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, hey, Coach, it's a personal testimony at my end. When I go out and people talk to me and say they believe in Jesus, they say, don't get yourself killed. Don't get beat up. We care about you.
So, amen. Hey, Jared, because look, I'm going to show you guys this, okay? This is Sheldon, pull up. It says, that's not what I wanted. Ted Cruz. Pull up, it says, voter Ted Cruz. I want to lay this on the table this morning because has the Lord given us a very small window of opportunity? Maybe we can play this at 1.25 time. This is a subcommittee meeting of July 17th, a year ago. Ted Cruz talking about manipulate. Folks, we're how if the Lord opened the window with Donald Trump, the Lord can close the window on Donald Trump. If the Lord opened the window for President Trump, for the church to awaken, and the church doesn't awaken, he can just as quickly close that door. And we cannot miss the time of the Lord's visitation, and I'm not talking about whether or not Donald Trump is representing the Lord. I'm just telling you this, that the door is open for Christian men to stand up and push back and fight. We're not doing it. Now, I want you to watch this. This is a liberal professor who studies voting. May, June, July, August, September, October, November? That's 6 months. 6 months. Artificial intelligence, all that stuff that Mark Trump talks to about electronic surveillance. I want you to listen to this. This is what's on the horizon if we do not awaken soon. Go ahead and play that, Sheldon. And I think at the 1.25 speed, we can get through a little quicker.
Background, you're not a Republican, and nor are you a conservative. Is that accurate?
That would be an understatement.
And indeed, you're the former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today.
Correct.
So you're a respected academic. You testified before this committee that Google's manipulation of votes gave at least 2.6 million additional votes to Hillary Clinton in the year 2016. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I want to make sure I understand. You personally supported and voted for Hillary Clinton.
I was a very strong public supporter of Hillary Clinton, yes.
So you're not dismayed that people voted for her, but your testimony is that Google is, through bias in search results, manipulating voters in a way they're not aware of.
On a massive scale, and what I'm saying is that I believe in democracy, I believe in the free and fair election, more than I have any kind of allegiance to a candidate or a party.
And looking forward, if I understood your testimony correctly, you said in subsequent elections, Google and Facebook and Twitter and big tech manipulation could manipulate as many as 15 million votes in a subsequent election?
In 2020, if all these companies are supporting the same candidate, there are 15 million votes on the line that can be shifted without people's knowledge and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
Now, you described the Go Vote reminder, and you said it wasn't a public service announcement, but rather manipulation. Can you explain how? I'm not sure everyone followed the details of that.
Well, sure. If on Election Day in 2016, if Mark Zuckerberg, for example, had chosen to send out a Go Vote reminder, say, just to Democrats, and no one would have known if he had done this, that would have given that day an additional at least 450,000 votes to Democrats. And we know this without doubt because of Facebook's own published data, because they did an experiment that they didn't tell anyone about during the 2010 election. They published it in 2012. It had 60 million Facebook users involved. They sent out a Go Vote reminder, and they got something like 360,000 more people to get off their sofas and go vote who otherwise would have stayed home. The point is, I don't think that Mr. Zuckerberg sent out that reminder in 2016. I think he was overconfident. I think Google was overconfident. All these companies were. I don't think he sent that out without monitoring systems in place. We'll never know what these companies are doing. But the point is,
So don't mess what he's saying. Zuckerberg, Facebook can send out notices to Democrat voters, liberal voters, send out notices to them, and nobody knows that they did it. Nobody knows they did it. They don't send them out to conservative Republicans. This guy's going to talk here in a minute about flipping as many as 20 million votes. Go ahead.
2018, I'm sure they were more aggressive. We have lots of data to support that. And in 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out. And the methods that they're using are invisible. They're subliminal. They're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences, and I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
You know, our Democratic colleagues on this committee often talk about what they view as the pernicious effect of big money and big corporate dollars. What you are testifying to is that a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires and giant corporations are able to spend millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars collectively, massively influencing the results of elections. And there's no accountability. You said, we don't know. We have no way of knowing if Google or Facebook or Twitter sends it to Democrats or Republicans, or how they bias it, because it's a black box with no transparency or accountability whatsoever. I mean, am I understanding you correctly?
Senator, with respect, I must correct you.
Please.
If Mark Zuckerberg chooses to send out a go vote reminder just to Democrats on Election Day, that doesn't cost him a dime.
Fair enough. Do you happen to know who the Hillary Clinton campaign's number one financial supporter was in the year 2016?
I think I do, but please remind me.
The number one financial supporter of the Hillary Clinton campaign in the 2016 election was the parent company of Google, Alphabet, who was our first witness. They were her number one financial donor, and your testimony is, through their deceptive search methods, they moved 2.6 million votes in her direction. I would think anybody, whether or not you favor one candidate or another, should be deeply dismayed about a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires having that much power over our elections to silently and deceptively shift vote outcomes.
Again, with respect, I must correct you. The 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. Mm-hmm. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million, depending on how aggressively they used the techniques that I've been studying now for 6.5 years.
Wow. Could you say that again, please? Just
the 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million votes, depending on how aggressive they were in using the techniques that I've been studying, such as the search engine manipulation effect, the search suggestion effect, the answer bot effect, and a number of others. They control these, and no one can counteract them. These are not competitive. These are tools that they have at their disposal exclusively.
If any headline comes out of this hearing, that should be it.
Comments.
Hey, Coach. The very first Occupy, I had everyone take their phones out. You remember that?
I do.
And what I had them look at is Facebook categorization. So the one key element of this is how do they know who's Democrat? So that's one of the experiments they did to identify who's who. And whenever I took y'all to that, Facebook still collects your behaviors. And it's listed right in your settings in Facebook what your categories are. And that's how they determine who to send the ads to, is your own behavior.
Folks, they know it.
Yeah, they know it better than you do because you're going to lie about your behavior, but Facebook knows it because it's where you go, it's what you look at.
You guys understand the power of this manipulation? You understand that? Do you understand the interconnectedness to Facebook, Google, all those things? And the kings of this earth conspire against the Lord. Do you understand the interconnectedness that's going on? And do you understand how fractured our team is? Most of our team doesn't have any idea what we just watched right there. They have no idea. I promise you, our pastors have no idea this is going to go on. And we think there are going to be fair elections. It's now, man. It's now. Right now. And what do we see? Well, you know what we see. So I come in here, rescue me. I'm kind of stuck. I got 1,000 places to go, but I'm kind of stuck right now. That's sobering to me.
Hey, Coach, I was going to say that regardless of who wins in 2020 is going to be an act of God. Just like Trump winning in 2016, okay? Everybody thought, and all the media thought, that Hillary had this. But thank God for our founding fathers and the Electoral College.
So Joseph, amen, Joseph. But then I say this, why should God bless America? Why should God be merciful to us again? Why should he? He opened the door. He gave us the opportunity to step forward, and we still are slaughtering. They closed down all the businesses across America and still continue to murder babies, and not a peep from the pulpits, not a peep.
Well, until we start peeping loud, it's not going to change.
It's not going to change.
And it's going to take more than peeping.
It's going to take more than peeping, and have we missed the time of his visitation? Because this thing can go away. Hey, folks, they shut down the entire country over a virus. I don't care whether you agree with it or don't agree with it. They shut it down. The manipulation of people is amazing. Pull up Marine Vet there, Sheldon. Marine Vet.
Quick note. Everybody knows Trump was elected beginning of 17. 3.5 years from that is June, July of this year. Just saying. If you believe that Trump is some sort of milestone related to that, you may not believe that. But if you do, 3.5 years is June. He will have been in office.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so listen, I got thank you to about the 400 people that sent me this video. I had it up yesterday. I was going, never got around to it. This is a guy who's I believe he's a pastor, former Marine vet. And he shows up. This is in California. And I want you to look at the police officers in riot. Remember, folks, how did the government become our enemy? That our government would show up in riot gear. This guy comes with a bullhorn. They're in riot gear against the people. So he gets on there and he just, I want you to listen to us. He just questions, as I did with Chad yesterday, to a point, what makes a guy follow an unjust order? What makes a cop enforce an unjust order? And that's the question that this guy asked these police. This is a powerful, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes. Go ahead and play that real quick here, Sheldon.
I didn't think it would end like this. It was such a good day. It really was.
Joshua Coleman reporting from the Sacramento Capitol, where freedom is officially over. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Joshua Coleman reporting from China.
You guys left and a couple of you guys stood down. So the question is, are you going to stand down? In the face of tyranny, in the face of freedom, are you going to sit there in your riot gear against peaceful protesters? Or are you going to say, you know what? It's time to stand up for my country. Because I took an oath of office and it said I will defend all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yeah, yeah. You know, you might lose your job, but I'd rather lose my job than lose my soul.
Amen.
I'd rather lose my job than lose my soul. Because what are you going to go tell your little boy or your little girl tonight? That you took a baton and you crushed somebody's skull that was a mom? Is that what a tough guy does? That's not what honor, courage, and commitment means in the Marine Corps. So the question is, do you say, you know, we always have in the military, we have what's a lawful order? And you got to check your nutsack when you're given an order and you got to say, is this a lawful order or is this a bullshit order? And when something's a bullshit order and it doesn't pass the sniff test, that's when you say sergeant, that's when you say colonel, that's when you say general, that's when you say governor. I'm not doing that. I didn't sign up for that. That's what it takes. So the question, I want each and every one of you to do a gut check right now. And there's guys over there that are lieutenants, and there's political games happening right now. People are talking about people, and somebody's looking at me at binoculars right now. Right? God bless them. Right?
Oh, shit, there's a sniper.
But what I want you to get is now is the time for you to decide. What side of history do you want to be on? I'm serious. Somebody's going to ask you that question. A bunch of people have video of everybody out here. It's going to be out in the media. And there will be some fake news. But there's going to be some of you that hit somebody that took Pastor Tim over there and you threw him to the ground like a piece of trash. And he was just standing there. And that's going to be on your conscience. And so This isn't a Republican thing. It's not a Democratic thing, even though Governor Newsom's making it that, so President Trump doesn't get back in the White House in 2020, and we get sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe in there. Right? But what I want you to get, this is a patriotic American thing. That's what, that's what's at stake right here. That's what we have. That's what's at stake. And so the question is, you got a steady paycheck coming in, but how many people right here, pardon my language, are getting fucked right now? How many people are getting fucked right now? And you guys are supporting that. You're endorsing that. By being here today and by pushing people back with those batons, you're endorsing that. You're saying, you know what? I'm okay with that. The guy up there with the creepy voice and the slick back hair that wants to give $125 billion to illegal immigrants, I'm all right with that. I'm all right with the fact that he pulled the permits on anybody that could protest out here. We were only here an hour, and you guys were already starting to draw a line. And I get it. You guys are just doing your jobs. But your job right now is to do a gut check. Your job right now is to say, is this ethical and moral? And if it's immoral and it's unethical, you don't follow that order. It's not constitutional. I talked to my master sergeant that I haven't talked to in about 10 years yesterday. And this guy was an 0311. Okay, he did two tours in Desert Steel, Desert Storm. All right? And this is one of the most ethical guys that I've ever met in my life. And if he was a law enforcement officer, he wouldn't be standing up with a baton in his hand right now. He'd be standing up to the people that were telling him to stand up with a baton in his hand right now.
Amen. They can all call him sick at the next rally. They can all call him sick.
What would it look like if you guys all called in sick the next time they try to get you to do this?
So again, it comes down to what we call duty. Duty. Let's pull it out of the governmental realm for a second. What's your duty as a Christian? What's my duty as a Christian? So, you know, they're killing babies, Coach. They're killing babies. Yeah, but listen, I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to obey the authorities, and I'm going to let them continue to kill babies because I want to be a good Christian. That guy's making with a bullhorn. If he could ask, he said, what is wrong with you guys? You're not supposed to obey an ungodly order. Didn't we just read in Luke 24? Didn't we just read that? Where it says we're going to be brought before these people as a testimony? We're the testimony. We're the ones that are supposed to stand up and say that's right and that's wrong. We're the ones that are supposed to do that. And the more we resist evil, the more we're going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them, as a testimony on behalf of the Lord for his name's sake. Folks, this message is nowhere to be heard in the American church. And I'm sorry, I don't think I'm crazy.
Hey, Coach, when we went to Chappaqua, when we went to Hillary's Gate, we did the demonstration that day. I was the first one up there, and I gave this same speech to those officers. I gave, in a nutshell, a quick little certain. I did the same thing this guy did to those, that law enforcement group right there. Yeah. I believe, Coach, that if we will do that and set that in stone with them, that about the Constitution, about what's right and wrong, I think they'll lay their arms down when it comes time. I really do, Coach.
Well, so, Randy, here's a picture that we have of police officers who are being paid standing and guarding against those who aren't being paid. It's the most ultimate tyranny. The ultimate tyranny of these guys, Cool Hand Luke, calling it their job doesn't make it right. Folks, for you to know to do good and for you not to do it, to you it is sin. I'm sorry if your pastor won't tell you that. I'm sorry. But we are sitting right now on the precipice of times like we have never, ever seen. And the way we react now will, in fact, change the direction of this nation forever. And no getting around it. Pray for leadership. Pray that God will elevate leadership, godly leadership, bold, unafraid leadership. Pray that God will elevate situations. Pray that God will awaken just plain little Davids who will just stand up and plant a seed, make a sacrifice that the Lord himself can use. Hey, it's a rapture anyway, right? We're all going to be out of here soon. I'll just make it a few days before everybody else, right? Folks, time is now. Time is now. God bless you. We'll catch you tomorrow.